Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice Brind'Amour and I, Jeff Gamet, talk about shows that I haven't seen, but I should have, but she has. And we're still in Stargate SG-1. And so before we go any farther, though, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm right now literally in a hotel room in Lisbon, Portugal, because I'm on my usual work trip to Portugal. It's raining here, like it does, but it's fine. It's been a good week and I'm very happy. I'm going home tomorrow, so I'm very happy to do that. So, well, but I could not wait to talk to you about this episode.
I couldn't wait either, and I'm glad that you're willing to set up a portable studio in your hotel room.
Yeah.
So we could do this.
So someone at work asked me today, is like, why do you have like a microphone and like a camera and everything with you? And I'm like, I do podcasts sometimes from the hotel, so I have all the I have literally at this point, well, the camera is the usual one. I have a travel mic. And I'm about to buy like a little travel like light so that I can have proper lighting. So yes, I'm one of those crazy people who lugs around tons of equipment whenever they're traveling.
I prefer to think of you as someone who is prepared, because otherwise the implication is I'm one of those crazy people.
Well, I mean, okay. It's not wrong.
Okay, fair, fair. All right, so, well, why don't we talk about the episode?
Yes, we should. We should.
So, so we are up to season 2, episode 14.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And so this episode is called Touchstone.
Yes, it's very ominous title, Touchstone.
Mm-hmm. And it aired originally in the United States, October 30th, 1998.
Mm-hmm. So basically Halloween, day before.
Right, right. This one is written by Sam Egan.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Brad Turner. Oh, go ahead.
Brad Turner, we know. Sam Egan, the only episode of Stargate SG-1 written by Sam Egan. But he did previously work with Brad Wright and Jonathan Glasner on The Outer Limits. He was also, or would be at this point later, the writer of 8 episodes of Sanctuary, which, if you don't know, is a really cool, also kind of sci-fi fantasy maybe show starring Amanda Tapping and starring, and I think she produced it, if I remember correctly.
Huh. All right. Well, now we have another show to add to the list, because I have never watched a single episode of Sanctuary.
Good, good. Well, I haven't watched it in a long time, so maybe that could be one of the things we watch at some point.
I think our list of shows that that we can pick from, it's getting long.
Yeah. But I mean, we also have to plan to at least do 500,000 to a million episodes of Retro Rewatch, so it's all fine.
Right. Okay. So
we're only up to, what is this, 30-something? So,
yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Well, it's a start.
It's a start, yes. Yeah, you know who also starts? Our guest stars.
Yes.
So, Tom McBeath as your all-time favorite character, Harold Mayborn.
Colonel Mayborn.
Colonel Mayborn. He is back, as always. Great. We have Matthew Walker as High Priest Roham. Jerry Wasserman as Bernie Whitlow. We have Tiffany Knight as Princess L'Amour. Weird name, but okay. She is actually best known for the hybrid, playing the hybrid in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, hard to recognize with hair and everything, but she's that.
I did not even. Okay, I'm oftentimes I'll see someone in one of these episodes, And I'll recognize them. Sometimes I know exactly from where.
It's like, other times, that person was in this show. Wow.
Yeah, but this time, no. Didn't even catch it at all.
Yeah. We have.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we also have Eric Brecker as Major Albert Reynolds. Again, I think repeat. He came back, and Conan Graham as NID Man. So those are the credit people at least. Yeah, some interesting guest stars, and yeah, Mayborn, yay! Interesting.
I'm glad Mayborn's back. Yeah. I mean, he's I've said it before. Yes. Well, yeah, but yeah, said it before. I'll say it again. He is just deliciously evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the character. Mm-hmm. And Tom McBeath does such a great job making me not like Colonel Mayborn at all.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Said it will be interesting to see how that progresses over time. We have a German title, of course, as always. I looked it up. Funny enough, it's always the German title that's interesting. I was looking at the other languages that were listed, and I'm like, yeah, all of them, those are boring. They are literally just Touchstone translated. German, of course, had to be different descriptive, so they said Das Zweite Tor, the second gate. Spiders!
Seriously? Okay. Do the German networks not get the concept of a spoiler?
Apparently not. Or maybe Germans want spoilers. They're like, they will not watch it until they know exactly what they're getting. Maybe that's why.
Okay, well.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who am I to judge?
Exactly. Other interesting tidbits outside of the show, basically. Michael Shanks and I'm having a hard time with her name, Vaitiare Bandera. So they were a couple back then, and they had their daughter, Tatiana Shanks, during filming of the episode.
Oh, okay.
That must have been a fun time for Michael Shanks. Probably having to leave the set or wait or whatever, like in a hurry.
Well, he had to do an episode with his wife where she was clearly ready to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out, yep.
But she's not in this episode. The scenes at the NID hangar were shot at the Boundary Bay Airport.
And okay.
Keep that location in mind. It will come up more. You will recognize it. You will see it more. It served as many, many places throughout. It's like
that is part of SG-1,
that's true.
We get to see the same locations used to represent same different quarry, things a lot.
Same forest.
Mm-hmm. Same lake.
Yeah, it's
true. Yep.
Yes. So, but that's literally it, what I have for this episode. There's not a lot of trivia I could find or interesting things that are not spoilers, basically.
All right. Well, then, ready to jump in?
Let's jump in. So.
All right, so this episode starts off in the exposition room.
Exactly, in the exposition room.
So it's another teaser intro where I assume they're going to spoon feed us through dialogue what the episode is going to be about.
Yeah, pretty much. So they've been back 5 weeks, or they came back 5 weeks ago from Madrona. So we hear about another mission that we didn't see. I mean, we know from Carter that they do like multiple times a week they have missions. So she said, like, I think last episode even, that she goes at least once or twice a week. So there's a bunch of and we knew that really early. They mentioned that they had been to another planet that we never saw and whatever. So they can control the weather there, is what we learn. Hammond has you sure you weren't under the local voodoo?
That was kind of a weird funny line, but yeah. Okay.
But in more serious notes, the planet was terraformed about 900 years ago, and they have a remote for the weather, which is the Touchstone. So now we have the name of the episode already. Mm-hmm. And Jack says, yeah, that's why we'd like to go back, sir. Carter wants to get a closer look with some of her specialized doohickeys.
And then Hammond side eyes him for that.
And then he says, I believe that's a technical term, sir.
Which is funny.
Yeah, and Sam wants to learn how it works, and it's a mission. So that's the exposition rooms episode, mostly set up. We get a little bit more, but mostly set up.
Yeah, and we get what I think is ultimately an important piece of information during mm-hmm. all of this, unless I'm mixing scenes right from the beginning, totally possible.
Yes.
Hammond wants to know why don't you just see if you can borrow it? We can study it here. And
I think
Sam points out that this is key to the
ecosystem.
So they have to go study it there.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was definitely, I skipped over that, but that was their reasoning to say, yeah, we can't just bring it here. Well, so they go to the planet Madrona.
Right. And what we find out is that instead of seeing this tranquil, beautiful, very comfortable climate,
mm-hmm.
it's bad weather. It's like lightning and dark and windy.
Snow and all of that, yes. It really turned bad. And the head guy with the weird face comes. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's whatever. It's really weird.
I have a question about that guy.
Yes.
Because the way the character is played in different scenes throughout this episode, mm-hmm. sometimes he comes across as if he's blind and other mm-hmm. times as if he can see.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he's supposed to be blind or not.
I also am not sure. I didn't understand it either, but I also honestly didn't pay too much attention to it. I was like, eh, whatever. He is honestly a completely not important, has absolutely no purpose other than to give us a line or two purpose.
I feel like his whole purpose, which could have been another character if mm-hmm. they wanted to save some money.
Yeah. It's like yelling at SG-1 at the end, basically. Mostly.
Yes. He's the guy that's letting us know that these people don't trust SG-1 anymore.
Yeah, basically that's it. So basically that's how it starts. He said, we demand you return the Touchstone. And they explain it's gone, and I think Jack says, wasn't it, if it's important, wasn't it guarded? And I say, yeah, it was guarded, but some people came at night, and they looked like you, and they took it, basically. And mm-hmm. SG-1 says, oh, okay, then we should probably return to Earth and try to figure out where it went. And there's some back and forth and hand-wringing, and then they let them go, and they can go back. And that's literally the opener.
Yeah,
I summarized it. It's like this.
You did a great job of summarizing. Yeah. They don't trust SG-1 anymore mm-hmm. because they think that they were involved in stealing the thing. Yes. SG-1's like, no, we didn't steal it. We will help you. We would never do that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the
opener. So what are your thoughts about this opener so far?
It, I think it does a good job of setting up what the premise of the whole episode mm-hmm. is going to be. Yeah. So yay for that.
It's just not super interesting.
It's not super interesting. And I felt like with the exposition room set up before mm-hmm. they got to the planet, it makes getting to the planet and finding out the problem, it takes the whole thing and makes it feel a little contrived to me.
Yes, pretty much. I don't know why. I mean, either or would have been fine. Just do the exposition room or just do the planet and just explain everything that's happening on the planet. both kind of felt redundant almost.
Yeah, so it wasn't that great of a teaser intro.
No, and to be honest, also the set there, I don't know what it was about this episode and this planet so far. It didn't make me care too much about the people and the planet.
Well, that's fair, because the planet at this point and ultimately through the entire episode is nothing but a Stargate with a path going to a small little building a hut and no more than 10 people.
Yes.
Ever.
And to be fair, I think 99% of the episode they don't matter at all. They're not involved. It's basically the beginning and the end, and I think somewhere in between, they briefly come there and then go again. Like, it's literally not about those people.
That's it. Yep. And honestly, the guy. Right. Yep. And the old man, the guy, they could have taken a clip of him doing the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe and just played that clip at each point when they come to the planet.
Yeah, maybe that's what I did. Who knows? Maybe we just didn't notice.
Yeah.
So after the credits, we're back at SGC. SG-1 returns. Hammond asks why they are there, and off to Hammond's office.
Right, because they're in a top secret facility where everything they talk about is top secret.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go to a secret place to talk about the top secret thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this I can understand. I think, everything is top secret, but Jack suspects or has at least some inkling.
Okay, that's a really, really good point.
They might be involved. I mean, for all he knows, that someone else stole it, but like from the teeny tiny explanation we got before the credits, like, oh, they looked like you, so they are people from Earth. That's the implication. It's not very clear, but that's kind of the implied, at least.
Yeah, really good point. And my cynicism about he couldn't just tell the general without going to a private room makes sense. Okay.
My cynicism was misplaced. My problem was more, I don't know why this scene was there. Because they come through the gate, Hammond says, why are you back? They say, well, there's a problem. Let's go to your office. They could have literally said, next scene is in the office.
You're right. They could have. It would have been, we already knew at the end of the last scene, they were leaving and going back to Stargate Command. Yeah. So we didn't need to see them go back. We were smart enough, we would have figured it out.
Exactly. So, yeah. So the
aforementioned. Now you're creating office. More problems for the episode for me.
The office. We're at the office. But then we get a really cool scene now. So Jack explains what happened, like what he learned, the little bits that they had. And he kind of implies that Hammond might know himself or another Stargate team might have gone rogue. Which I think, I'm not sure Jack 100% believes, but I think he also, he had to ask. Because, it's a military, it's a secret organization. Who knows? Maybe Hammond got an order to steal it and didn't want to tell SG-1. It is possible. It's not likely, but it is possible. SG team going rogue. SG-1 has gone rogue. So, possible.
Sure. Yep, yeah. There is precedent for that.
And with the NID in the game, and we know about them, who knows what they did and who they pressured into doing something. You never know. But Hammond kind of boxed him and says, no. I would never allow that, and no other team would do something like that. And then Jack suggests, maybe we should, I will ask Carter to do some checks, just in case, like check the computers. And Hammond at first was like, oh, I know everything that's going on here. If someone sneezes in the gate room, I know about it. And Jack is like, oh, okay, sure. Like, I think he knows, he's kind of maybe overstepped a little bit, and he's like, okay, fine. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically, it doesn't say it, but it's like, I had to ask. And he's about to walk out, and then Hammond is like, you can see that he's thinking. He's like, you know, just in case, have Carter check the computers. It is a big facility, and he's not there 24/7. So, yeah, everything is possible, right?
Sure. And it was nice seeing the general work through all that quick. Like, I know everything, but just in case, better.
And he's not angry with Jack. Like, you know, the other leaders or other, like, commanders, generals might have been like, how dare you even accuse me? And how dare you do this? He doesn't do anything. He understands that Jack kind of, he had to ask, and something is going on, and he didn't mean anything bad with it. Like, I think it said Jack, I don't think Jack himself believed it, but he was like, okay, this is the first level where we should start and ask, because if someone knows, then it might even be him.
Right. And it was the right place to start.
Yeah, instead of sneakily looking and then coming to him, it's like, no, just go to him, ask him. I mean, they have a good relationship. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so off they go to let Sam do her work.
Yeah, so they go to the control room.
Where Daniel's watching TV.
Yeah. Daniel's noticed odd weather in Phoenix. I wrote that down. It's snowing in Phoenix and odd weather there. But the lock's actually empty. Carter says, there's nothing so far. But then she finds a huge transitory glitch 3 days ago when SG2 returned.
Okay, so the whole thing with well, you know, if you're going to hide your tracks, of course you're going to hide it in the logs. But we should check the backups.
No, we get to that.
We haven't gotten to that yet. Okay.
So we're like, they've checked the weather. It's odd, but they don't, like, it's not, they can't really spot the location. It's like, oh no, it's all happening in Phoenix. Like, Phoenix was just one of many locations where they have odd weather. But the implication is, it's hard to tell because, you know, weather can be weird sometimes, but something is at least looking like it might be going on. And maybe this touchstone device is on Earth, and maybe it's influencing it. It's a lot of maybes. It's just hard to tell because of weather. But they're also noticing at least that it seems to be different. Something is going on, either naturally or not, basically.
Yeah, and the timing, boy, that's quite a coincidence.
I would say so, yes. Sam basically, she checks and she's like someone might have used the second gate a second after SG2 came back. Basically, she recognizes the pattern, and she recognizes, like, because they had that, you know, that they had that in, what was it called? That, where they ended up on Earth in Antarctica.
Yeah. What episode? I can't remember the name of the episode, but yes. Sam and Jack in the ice cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, if I could find it, I would tell you. Was it Solitudes?
The one where
I think
apparently...
I think it was Solitudes, actually.
Yeah. That's the one where we find out that the Air Force has airplanes and helicopters that can move at remarkable speeds so that you can get from Colorado Springs to the Arctic in mere minutes.
Exactly. So either way, that's where we get to that thing that you did. She's like, there's this pattern, and let's see if we can recognize it. Like, let's see if it's the same. And I didn't understand that 100% what she was even doing, but okay, it doesn't matter. She checks the locks, nothing. She's like, oh, maybe the backup, maybe someone deleted it. Maybe the backup locks. No match. And it's like, oh, but sure, they overlooked a third tier backup. So let's check it there. And of course they find it there.
And of course they find it. And I'm like, it's kind of seriously.
Like, this is an old trope in so many movies. Like, oh, they didn't check the whatever offside backup or whatever. They didn't delete that one. Or I can restore the pattern buffer, like Star Trek. I can restore the pattern buffers if I use an Omicron scan and whatever.
And reverse the polarity. Neutron flow.
The polarity. Yes. Yes.
That's right. Reverse neutron flow is Doctor Who. Reverse the polarity is Star Trek, I think.
Something like that. No, Doctor Who would have used his sonic screwdriver to do it.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. So basically, conclusion, they use the second gate. The pattern matches exactly from their second gate dotting. So like that is literally what happened. And then Daniel says, "Oh, who would have been authorized to use a second gate? I thought it had been officially decommissioned." And Jack says, "It was officially."
It was officially, yeah.
No, so says, the implication is officially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, the way he says it, like officially. Yeah, I mean, he knows the military and he knows like there's politics and everything going on. So you never know what's happening in the background, especially with the NID around that we've already had a run with, right? So what do they do?
There's a problem that I'm having, and I can't remember if it was in this exchange or if it was later, but I thought it was in this exchange.
So I guess later.
And which means it's later. Yeah. So Teal'c made a comment about, they were talking about I think it was earlier, SG-2 coming back.
That was no, that's in this scene. They had this transitory glitch in SG-2.
So it was in this one?
Yes.
Okay. So Teal'c says that they were galaxies away, implying that the Stargate allowed them to go to different galaxies when we've established
is
access around our galaxy.
Yes, that is literally, that is one of the goofs. Yes, they says galaxies away when it's really just solar systems away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if that was a writing mistake or that was a mistake Christopher Judge simply made in the moment. Maybe even like ad-libbing a little bit. You never know.
Regardless, true. Though, I caught it.
You did catch. There's a couple more like this, to be honest. So what does happen? What do you do after with those findings? You go to Hammond's office, right? Back to Hammond,
right?
And
Hammond's on his phone.
He's on his phone. It's like, and it's really funny. It's like, no, I need to talk to him now, son. Do you know what color this phone is? And then it's like,
which?
Yes,
I laughed at that.
It's like, yes, I'll hold. And while he's holding, like, Jack explains their findings, like what they found. And Hammond says, what? Like, I was given top-level assurances that that gate was sealed. And Jack says, and I really like this comment, he says, a case of the left hand not knowing what the right foot is doing. Usually it's like left hand and right hand, right? But he's like, no, it's the right foot.
Well, I mean, you're talking about government, where it gets real convoluted real fast.
Exactly.
But I thought that was a funny line, too.
Yes. Hammond mentions that he can't reach the president. He is conveniently unavailable. That's what I wrote down. I don't know if he said it that way.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. It's like, I think he said, basically said that there was someone higher up that was kind of blocking him from getting access and like getting on the schedule, basically. He says, this is going to sound paranoid, Colonel. But back when the SG program began, there was a philosophical skirmish about its mandate. Some people wanted to make sure that any and all discoveries were brought back, regardless of considerations like interplanetary diplomacy. And he said, I had a feeling that someone chose not to surface during debate, not military, politicians pulling strings behind the scenes. No one said so exactly. But like 30 years in service, you develop an instinct about these things. That is, I wrote that down or copied that verbatim because that was a really important piece. It's like, okay, Hammond has been like, he's done politics and he understands and he has a good sense of, okay, what's really going on. He here also sees it and it's like, yeah, the president isn't busy. Like, he's just, someone is interfering.
Someone's interfering. I liked the backstory we got to the development of the Stargate program.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's so I liked that, and I liked seeing the Hammond. I mean, we've seen Hammond as the savvy guy before, but I like when we get to see that.
He is on a warpath now, and he says so. He's like, he's gonna keep digging, and he says, "I'll be damned if I'll be blocked by some sycophant in the White House."
Yeah, Hammond's not happy.
No, and he's on a warpath. He's like, no, this isn't not gonna happen. Like, no way. Like,
right.
So, I mean, they've tried to silence him before, right? So, why not? So,
we go back to now time for some exposition.
Back to the expo room. So, Carter is talking to Tech. Nobody understands what she's saying. But the important thing is they've narrowed it down somewhere in the Nevada desert. At least that's what they say at that point. They don't. And that's when Hammond perks up and he's like, huh. The second gate ended up at Nellis Air Force Base.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so...
Here's the thing. If they were already speculating the second gate had been used, why would Hammond not say, that gate ended up at Nellis? Let's start looking there.
Let's start looking. I mean, well, I'm not so sure. But, I mean, he was told it was sealed. And if it's not, then it might have been moved. Well, so, I don't know. I'm with you. It's like kind of would have been the obvious one. But okay, it goes the other way around. Maybe Carter had the information already before Hammond could even tell them. And Hammond says, I think to Jack, like, you're going to love this, Colonel. Guess who just got himself reassigned to Nellis? Colonel Maybor.
And so as soon as they dropped that name, we're going to get some Mayborn action.
Yeah. We also learn, and that is important, Nellis is where they send all the tech they bring back from other planets. So everything they ever got find from alien planets ends up in Nellis, right? And Hammond says, yes, the Groom Lake facility, and Jack says, Area 51. Because of course it has to be
Area 51. Because of course that's where it's going to go. All right, so at this point, I'm like, well, that's obvious, but at the same time, it could have been anywhere. And then my follow-up thought was, we're going to have stuff loop back to Area 51 in future episodes. They just gave us a setup for something that they're going to use again.
Maybe.
Not
telling you.
So anyhow, I think that's what's going to happen. We will see.
We will see. So we get a tiny little thing. I think we just get, hey, things are getting worse in Madrona. We have about 48 to 72 hours because, of course, we need a clock on this.
Of course we do. It's not dramatic. We have to have a sense of urgency.
Exactly. So Jack is like, I want to go to Nevada. And Hammond first says, yeah, whatever, I'm going to send someone and have to take it out.
But there's some people I trust. He said, I'm going to call and get you clearance.
Yeah.
And then Jack's like, actually, do we really want to do it that way?
Yeah.
He's questioning who we can trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Hammond comes up with a really cool thing. He's like, Colonel, I need some documents hand-delivered to the Groom Lake facility. And Jack says, are those documents sensitive enough to warrant a three-man team with a Jaffa escort? And Hammond says, absolutely.
I did enjoy that.
That was
there are beautiful. All these little things in this episode that they do like that, where just...
I was just
like eating it up,
fully knowing that that is complete BS. But like they just that like how they play it like so straight is like, but like with that little twinkle in their eyes, it's like yeah, mm-hmm. we all know what's going on. Yeah, I really love that. So we go to Area 51. Basically, they're going.
They do a weird thing with the camera shots in that mm-hmm. first scene at Area 51.
Okay.
Where SG-1, they're silhouetted
mm-hmm.
through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the Area 51 officer that they're talking mm-hmm. with is not. Mm. It seemed like a weird way to shoot that scene to me. It also doesn't look like Area 51.
No, exactly. There's freaking pine trees in the background. Nevada. Desert.
There are no pine trees there.
It's like not a chance. No. Yeah, that was clearly, very clearly not Area 51. I don't know what location that was, but it was not even close to Area 51.
Probably a nearby junior college or something.
Yeah, something. It actually did look kind of like a school, high school, or university of some sort, college of some sort. Mm-hmm. So they do meet Major Reynolds, NID. We learned that SG-1 is a legend around there because of all the tech they've brought back, of course, and all the weird stuff that has happened.
I did get a kick out of Major Reynolds fanboying. Mm-hmm. Through this whole thing.
Yeah, I really like him. I mean, he's NID, but like, I like him. He's a fun character. Kind of shows there's also, it's not everybody at NID is probably a bad person. Like, some of the people.
Right. Yeah.
It's a job. It's a job.
I like how he's pointing out stuff as they're mm-hmm. going along.
Yeah, we're getting
making to references we're to yet. Past episodes. Oh, I'm ahead. Yeah. Of course I'm ahead.
Tiny little bit, because first he says, okay, Mayborn has been paged and whatever, and fanboys a little bit, and then they go. And that's when they go around, and he's like, he references the Heliopolis place, the meaning of life stuff, and that they loved. He said, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fanboying about the races and all that information that we got from that planet. We talked about that last time.
From the castle episode
yes.
from season one.
Yes.
Yep.
And they have gliders and so on.
And they even reference the cliffhanger season one mm-hmm. episode.
Yes.
At the end of the season. Yeah.
Yes. And then they go to the bio research lab and... Jack says, this is where you keep the little green men. And we get another fun episode because Reynolds says, uh-huh. and like in a very deadpan, like kind of, yeah, you're not sure if he's just telling the truth or if he's just telling something that he was told he should be telling. There's like, there are no alien life forms at Area 51.
And then the camera kind of pans robotic. To Teal'c.
Yes. Yeah, and then Jack says, oh, okay, present company excluded, of course. So the implication being, is he telling the truth or is he not? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
And then Mayborn shows up.
and he is so Mayborn.
Yes. The first thing he says is, Teal'c, it's good to see you well. And Teal'c is not happy. He's like, in my culture, I would be well within my rights to dismember you. And he just walks away.
And the look on Mayborn's face yeah, is just wonderful.
He's like, he's kind of not sure, but he's like kind of scared, I think. Because Teal'c could easily kill him. Like, Mayborn wouldn't be able to do anything. Nobody would be able to do anything. If Teal'c wanted to kill him, he would just snap his neck, I guess. So.
Yeah. It would happen before anyone else could even say, Teal'c, no.
Exactly.
It would just be done.
Exactly. They press him on the touchstone and he just plays dumb. He's like, oh, I don't, never heard of it. What is it? No, don't know. And he also says, yeah, no, the second gate, no, it's not been activated. It's like, we didn't already have it under lock and key here and whatever. And then Jack is like, man, let's go have a look. I want to see the gate.
And so Mayborn's finally like, fine, whatever. Okay. And I love how Mayborn turns around. Teal'c's right there, like intimidating, looking down on him, inches away. And Mayborn's like, oh, crap. He goes around him. And then Teal'c just gets this little smirk on his face. He knew like, what he was doing. He was screwing with him.
Exactly. He was so screwing with him. So they go to the hangar, I guess. It's probably just literally the same hangar that they shot later scenes in. They just closed the door.
Oh my gosh. I hadn't even thought about that.
That's probably. Why would you do it a different place? Like, just do the same place.
I had a continuity issue where I thought it was the same hangar in this scene and then later. But of course, it's not.
No, it's not supposed to be, but I think they shot it
right. In the same but hangar. I think it's the exact same hangar.
It just made it darker and shot it from a different angle. And it's literally the same place, probably. I don't think they moved even the boxes, probably even literally the same. They just shot it from a different side or whatever.
I think you are absolutely correct.
Yes. He's like, oh, look, it's here. It's all there. It's all fine. Nick, look, we still got it. And they opened like Carter and whatever. They opened the boxes and like, yeah, okay, it looks like it is. And then like Carter gets suspicious and she knocks on it. It's like, oh, it's plastic. and Mayborn plays the first place. What? No, that's not possible. Whatever. Like he tries to pretend. He doesn't know.
That's exactly what he should be doing for the character in this scene. And but still at the same time, everyone's like, come on. Just like, mess up.
He's like, oh no, that's the gate that was brought back from the Antarctic. It's been under lock and key since it got there. And then, I mean, Jack is not believing it for a second because even he knows Mayborn and, like, he knows he's just lying through his teeth. And Jack says, I don't know who's giving you orders, Mayborn, but they better come from where the air is real thin. So, I mean, very high up.
I thought that was funny, too.
And then we get a really interesting answer from Mayborn. I mean, he finally drops the facade and he's like, well, that presumes that there was no authorization to move the Stargate. And Jack is like, so who authorized it? And Mayborn said, that's classified. Of course, that's the answer. And O'Neill is, well, we have the highest clearance, which, to be fair, that's not how this works. Clearances are not you get everything.
Right.
You only get what
even if you have the highest clearance.
Exactly. And then Mayborn says, within the military, you do.
Now, I understand why he had to say that line. And it's because we need to understand that part of what's going on here is outside of the military structure.
Yes.
I think in reality, what he would have said is, not for this.
Yeah, probably. Yes. I think Jack, I think correctly takes from that, well, it must be civilian then.
and that's what we're supposed to take from it too.
Exactly. But Mayborn basically is done talking. He's like, let's throw them out.
Yeah. He's like, escort these people back to their Jeep or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're done. So funny.
So anyhow, I did like that Mayborn kept the charade going
until
there was no value in maintaining that for himself. And then boom, just like that. He's like,
and then,
okay, we're done here.
Yeah. But then he turned it like into delicious where he's like really savoring that implication that like, oh, there's like, hey, I got authorization to do this.
And you don't know what's going on.
Exactly. I know. So yeah, we go back to the expo room. So I guess they're back. I mean, it was not that far. It's still kind of far, but not that far to go from.
Well, from where they are with the military base that they have access to in the Springs to where they flew to in Nevada, this would be tops a 90-minute flight, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing about. So, like, maybe let's say two hours in total, everything. Going there, going to whatever.
They could leave after breakfast, have lunch on the flight back, and still be done with everything on their schedule for the day before dinner.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't remember if they even explained it to Hammond or not. I don't think so. I think they just continue. Hammond basically says there's nothing usual about it, Captain. Someone's clamped down on the communication channel. So he's been trying to figure out what's going on. And we just can't get anything. Like, literally. I think someone says, maybe we should track the gates. And Jack says, yeah, let's just put out an APB for a huge honking two-story metal ring with 39 little pictures all nicely engraved on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So they need a new plan. They're not getting anywhere so far, at least, on the SGC side. Hammond is not getting anywhere, and going to Area 51 was a bust, and I think at this point, even if they try to go back, there would be nothing to gain, because anything that could have been there, any person they could have seen there, has left a long time ago, because now, like, they know they're being
fought. Yeah, that jig is up.
Exactly. They need a new plan.
And I do like Sam's plan, even though part of it feels like this is a little contrived, but I think it's the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. But anyhow, I like that they built this answer out of stuff they experienced from previous episodes. Yes. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah. I mean, they know from what Sam has found in the computers. They know that's how they returned. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
They know this is how they traveled and that's how they got the touchstone. So saying, okay, if we can't get anywhere from this side, let's try, and we don't know where the other gate is, let's try to go there.
Now, so that part totally makes sense.
Yeah.
The part that felt contrived to me was her saying, so we just need to put this extra power into the gate on the other side. But as I'm talking through it, I'm realizing she's simply recreating the circumstances that caused the problem in the first place.
Exactly.
And I need to stop being so critical about a TV show that's over 20 years old.
Yes. No, but I mean, that's exactly it. And that's also the part why they ultimately decide not to do it this way. Because all they have is this one time when that happened, that they don't have any data about, just to guess what happened. And they have, of course, the signal that they saw on the other side. So, like, Sam is trying to do some educated guessing how to recreate it. But they're not sure it's going to work. And, I mean, last time, like, it almost didn't go well. So I think that's at the end of the day, they're like, okay, let's maybe send a MELP back, because if that gets destroyed or killed or whatever, like, no big loss. But I think humans, I mean, clearly the others have worked it out somehow, but they had probably also more time.
Right. So, yeah. And sending a MELP through totally makes sense.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, let's go to Madrona, send a MELP through the gate. The MELP has video and has GPS and has, radio. So it will send us back. It will basically relay back information to us, and then we can see. There will be a problem with that, but we can see where it is, and then we can go get it.
All right. I want to point out. Yes. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, I almost did as well, so that's why I think I know what you want to say. But so we go to Madrona real briefly, and it's a blizzard. That's literally it. I wrote down Madrona blizzard done.
Mm-hmm.
Hammond says, here we are, so I think they have an open gate to Madrona. And he says, here we are transporting our people across the galaxy to find something we've lost in our own backyard. Incredible.
Which, I mean, he's right.
He is right. There's a not so important conversation with the Madronans. Literally, this is what I wrote down. It's absolutely, other than, we're still angry with you and whatever, no importance.
Oh, yeah, I had totally forgotten about that.
It's the one in the middle where they're just angry with you. And that's it. Just, hey, we're still here.
We're still here and we're still mad.
Yes. The MELP has arrived. So this part I didn't understand.
Okay, so problem leading into that, and mm-hmm. then I probably have a similar problem to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they have to take this power generator through the mm-hmm. gate so that they can hook it up to the gate mm-hmm. to help create the power surge.
Yeah.
And apparently there are like jumper cable hooks on stargates so you can just directly tie into their power system.
Yes.
Because, like,
no, I mean,
we watch Jack take jumper cables and just hang them.
It is a superconductor.
On a post.
No, but it is a superconductor. So, I mean,
problem is the way he connected the cables, because I'm being a butt about this. Okay. It's like there's conveniently this hook that he can just go click.
My problem.
Stick the cable on.
My problem is a completely different one, because they do the jump connection, whatever, and they open it, but they can still send the video back to SGC. They have a three-way connection.
Oh yeah,
it's like Earth, Madrona, Earth.
So maybe
conference call.
Conference call. There we go. They did a Stargate conference call.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I'm like, because they're watching the video and trying to triangulate things from SGC. I'm like, how?
I had a problem with that. Yes,
I mean, either they have a radio connection or satellite or whatever from the MELP on Earth to SGC, but then it should be easy to trace.
Right. Okay. And see, I have a problem with the way they're interacting with the MELP to trace
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wrote this episode clearly doesn't understand how GPS works. Because the whole thing with the trying to use GPS and they didn't get it.
And it's like, let's seriously, switch to whatever bands, the Tetra bands.
This is bullshit.
That's complete
bullshit. We had to bring this other satellite online. Okay, first, no. And even if all they had was a single satellite available to them, for the time frame that they had available, they could have known that the MALP's location within 20 meters, even with a single satellite.
No, not
because what you have to do is wait for the satellite move. You track the satellite as it's moving and triangulate off of that.
That's
it's
true.
Not super accurate.
But it's good enough. I mean,
it gets you close enough.
They don't need to be too close because, I mean, they literally know. I mean, it's a big freaking stargate. So, like, they're
it's
not
hiding. It's a two-story tall metal ring.
They're not hiding it in the basement of a 7-Eleven or something.
Right.
It's like, no. So that's probably some way of transporting it and some big warehouse or something. So it's not that hard. Right? Good. Close enough is close enough. If they can narrow it down even to the city, they will probably find it somehow. Yeah. But
and
it doesn't happen.
For the time they had, they could narrow it down much closer than the southern part of Utah.
Yes, yes. I mean, the whole thing.
It was Utah, also, right?
It was Utah, yeah. It's not how GPS works. Like, either you have a connection to the satellite or you don't. There's nothing you can do. There's literally nothing you can do to it. I mean, bar maybe moving the satellite in a position that it can be found or connected. But you cannot do that within, like, a couple of seconds. Like, sorry, no.
No. And... okay, as someone who has used handheld GPSs
mm-hmm.
from long before, I think it was President Clinton changed mm-hmm. the restrictions
mm-hmm.
on them, So we anyhow, this is a military thing. It can a device. It would have had full access to yes. the entire GPS network.
Yes.
All the satellites.
Yeah.
It would have had enough data fast enough
yeah.
for the MALP to know its position within a couple meters and its altitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Within seconds.
Exactly. I mean, the only way this would have worked is, okay, I couldn't get a fix at all done.
Yeah, would be radio signals are blocked from the building.
Yes. So, okay.
And so they wouldn't have had any location.
We've basically jumped ahead a little bit,
a minute or so,
because we were, it had arrived, that's where we jumped off, but the video is dark, it pans around, and it's clearly a hangar of some sort, and they're trying to triangulate, and then there's a guy, and he shoots it, and that's it. So it's not a surprise. It gets destroyed, basically.
Hammond is like, what happened? He's looking at the screen. What just happened?
What happened?
Seriously, dude?
Got shot.
We all watched someone zip in front of the camera and then shoot the MALP with a gun.
Exactly. But as you said, Carter says, I got it narrowed down. I didn't have full time for a full triangulation. And as far as I can tell, it is in southern Utah. Yes. I mean, to be fair, maybe it wasn't GPS, but they talked about GPS before, so it didn't make sense. I mean, it could have just been radio triangulation or something, some other way of doing it. Yeah, okay, maybe.
I thought she talked about GPS specifically.
Yeah, exactly. They did talk about it. And then Hammond says, well, southern Utah does narrow it down a little bit. And then he says, I have one last marker to call. That's what he called it.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to a park. Somewhere in the BC area, probably.
Right. I like this scene.
Me too. This is like the Cloak and Dagger, and Hammond has apparently some really interesting friends.
Yes. And what I'm hoping...
They owe him as well. So.
Yes. So what I'm hoping is that what happens in this scene with mm-hmm. Hammond doing his Cloak and Dagger stuff... I want to see more of this with Hammond in future episodes, and I want to have little bits come up every now and then that gives us some backstory mm-hmm. into how he has all of these markers and mm-hmm. all of these ties mm-hmm. into the espionage yeah. thing.
Yeah. So he meets up with a guy named Whitlow.
Mm-hmm.
And... he asks him about it, like, do we know anything about this? And he says, he knows nothing. It's like, George, really, as much as I'd love to clear our little IOU, I don't know anything. I don't even know what you're talking about in regards to a weather device. So he knows about the Stargate, I guess, but not about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, George, if it were military, I'd know about it. It's got to be civilian. Which we already knew, but now we have almost confirmed.
But now we have confirmation.
Almost confirmed. I mean, he doesn't confirm anything, but
he's
close enough. I mean, it's like two people saying it's civilian, one person we couldn't trust, one person. I mean, Hammond seems to trust, so I guess that's confirmation.
So the one name that we haven't seen come up yet in mm-hmm. all of this that I thought might come up in this scene is Senator Kinsey.
Hmm.
Because that's the senator that we've experienced from the civilian side mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
And he clearly had different motives for the Stargate program. Anyhow.
Of course. But he's not in the guest stars this episode, so he will not show up. We know that already. No.
Right. And and he doesn't get name dropped in this scene.
He does not. But, it's not a bad guess, I would say. I thought of them as well when it was mentioned. I'm like, who do we know who had a stick up his behind about the Stargate program?
Senator Kinsey.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if he's powerful enough for that. Maybe there's someone else behind Kinsey who's really pulling the strings, but he is definitely, what's the first name that came to mind when I heard.
Well, I hope we get to see Senator Kinsey at some point again, because Ronnie Cox plays that character so well. Yes. And it's another one of those characters like Mayborn that you just love to hate.
Yes, absolutely. So, but we do get some interesting thing, because when when Hammond mentions Southern Utah, Whitlow says, oh, Southern Utah. Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, because he was like, okay, like in Weather Device, I don't know anything about it, but like, have you heard anything out of Southern Utah that might be interesting, right? I mean, there's tons of stuff going on, probably, but maybe something came across his desk. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, a requisition just crossed my desk requesting a C5 for a classified pickup at an NID landing site. It's in Utah. And Hammond is like, yeah, C5 is a pretty big plane. Something mm-hmm. you probably put a Stargate in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We go back to the SGC. And Hammond says, okay, here's the deal. This NID landing strip doesn't officially exist. Therefore, I don't think there's a jurisdictional issue. But even if there is, that C5 is an Air Force property and it is our jurisdiction. So he's already worked that out. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't want to fight with anybody. I want to send my people into that trust. And like, this is how we can argue that they're the right people, basically, and can do this. But he's also very clear, and I think this is a good point that he makes and a good reminder that he sends to Jack. He's like, Jack, you have no authorization to fire on them. Like, I thought
that was interesting that he gave them this order.
Yeah,
he doesn't know whether they're
friend or foe. I mean, they might literally just be people following orders that they got from higher up. They might literally not know what they're doing. They're just doing whatever. They're just moving equipment from A to B. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally, we don't know. I mean, we know someone is doing something, but like, it might not be the people there. Who knows? So he's like, Jack is kind of like, oh, really? Like, what if they shoot at us first? Can we at least return fire? And Hammond is very clearly no. Like, he says, those are my orders, Colonel. We're already going out, way out on a limb on this one. I don't want my people mortally wounding another American who may just be following orders. Understood. And Jack does agree. It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does tell Jack that if they have to fire, it has to be an absolute last resort to use their guns.
Yes, basically, either you get killed or them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even then.
Right. So, yes. Maybe wait till you've been shot and then fire back.
And then fire back, exactly. Yeah, so we go to Utah, or probably another forest somewhere. No, actually, we know it's the airport.
Abandoned airport. So we go to the airport.
We go to the airport somewhere in the BC area. Not super important. Stargate, like some sneak around, and they breach the compound. They go in, and there's the Stargate. And there's three people, and they capture them. Just literally not important how that all happened. It's a nice scene, but it's like, okay, they just do it.
Yeah, but I do like how Jack is like all business, and he is not taking anyone's shit on this one.
Yeah. But then something important happens, because there is, we all of a sudden we hear someone starting dialing the gate. Mm-hmm. And turns out there's a fourth person in a white box truck that was like standing to the side. And in that confusion, the gate opens or whatever, in that confusion, and because also Jack has orders not to shoot them, three of them jump through the gate. I think one guy wanted to grab a box of some sort, and Jack shot basically in front of him and at the kind of towards the box to prevent him from grabbing it. Mm-hmm. Jack thinks, okay, if they want that, that must be important. Maybe it's the touchstone, which it turns out it is. But we don't know that yet. And then there's the fourth person, same thing, tries to grab it again. And then also, like, again, Jack's not allowed to shoot them. And this is not a life or death situation. So he's like, okay, kind of have to let them go, I guess. So they all jump through the gate.
All right. So the whole gate thing here.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved the whole effects with the gate in this one. So it's in a big shipping box. It's laying flat.
Laying flat.
It's closed, and it does the kawoosh. So the kawoosh goes straight up in the air.
Yeah, through the box.
And then you see through the box, and now we have this hole through the lid of the box that's, you know, the diameter of the gate opening.
Yeah.
And you can see the gate pool in there, and everyone jumps like you're jumping into a swimming pool.
I just thought that must have been so really fun cool the way they did that. Actors or stuntmen. Like, I mean, there's not a gate there, so they probably just jumped into boxes or something. But it must have been so fun to just do that, like jump in there.
Yeah. It was just really cool the way they did all that.
And a really nice CGI effect there as well, like how you see them jumping into the gate and all that. Oof, this is really well done, and also, like the, as I said, the whole setup, the warehouse. I mean, it's only three people there, but it's a small team. It's a four, again, also interesting, four people. It's another four people team. And Daniel unfortunately just misses the address on the DHD.
Yeah, like,
damn, missed the address, because that would have been helpful. They would have known where they have to go. But at least turns out they have the touchstone. It's back.
Yep.
Safe. Seems to be okay. I think somewhere earlier, I forgot about that, we learned that that's why they couldn't figure out where they were, because the weather changes had stopped all of a sudden. So I guess they figured out the shielding or didn't fiddle with it or whatever they did.
Yeah, we don't know what they stopped doing or what they changed.
Yeah, but it was basically...
It stopped working at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was in a box, so maybe that just did it. Maybe it was shielded up in some way. So they return to Madrona. They return the touchstone. It gets put back in Matthew's hand, and there's a cheesy sunrise shot.
Yes. All right, now here's the problem I have with this scene. When they come back to Madrona... They're all in their winter coats and everything. Mm-hmm. So they've clearly gotten on a plane, flown from Utah back to Colorado Springs, then gone back, loaded up their gear and gone through the gate and taken this back. We know these people have hours at best before their environment is irreparably ruined. Why would you not let Stargate Command know you're here with this gate, get people on site, and dial that gate to the planet they need to go to so they can get the device back immediately?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's... Yeah. I said, I had my problem with it. That's why I literally wrote it down in three sentences. It's like, this is literally not important. Like, hey, everybody's happy, great, done. Bye.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's like, okay, and now you just wrapped up the whole episode. Thank you.
Yeah, but not yet.
I know. There's still a little bit more, but yes. at that point, it feels like the whole thing's wrapped up.
It felt like that cheesy sunrise shot was the end, and then we go back to SGC and there's more. So actually, I like that part. It's like, hey, you think that would be the end, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because that would have been too cheesy. So we go back to the exposition room. We learn, yeah, everything is back to normal. The weather has returned to normal on both planets. Everything is fine. Hammond is still trying to figure out what the frick happened. He says, to be honest, it's still something of a shell game. The investigation has been taken out of my hands. So someone higher up intervened, and Hammond is not allowed to keep looking, keep digging. But there's one silver lining on this. He says, no, Colonel, this time I was able to ensure that our Stargate will be the only one in use. And Carlos says, the second Stargate will be retired, and says, yes, only this time there will be a permanent iris welded over it, and it will be placed under round-the-clock guard under the command of the SGC. My command. So he is going to ensure that nobody else can use this gate. Personally, basically.
Which, that's as it should be.
Yes. Yeah, if you can't trust other parts of the military, then you have to make sure that the people you trust Oh dear.
And we do get to see people welding the panels onto this Stargate.
Yeah. Yes, and we get a little really nicely delicious scene with Mayborn. And that, so they go to Area 51, we see the Stargate being well shut, SG-1 is there, and Jax has to Mayborn, does that this put you out of a job, Mayborn? And Mayborn says very smugly, it's like, oh, you'd be surprised. Strange things happen in high places, Colonel. Jax says, don't I know it? And Mayborn says, people get reassigned, so does property, artifacts get misplaced, orders change. Every day is a new day.
So I really did like that. And especially because it gives us a setup to have more Mayborn down the line.
Yes. And I think I'm not going to spoil anything with that day. We have not, I mean, I've mentioned, I think I've told you that before. We have not seen like the last of him.
Which is great because he's just this, I've said it before, saying it again, he's this deliciously evil character. Mm-hmm. I love the Mayborn character, and I love the I just forgot the actor's name, the way he plays his character. It's just great.
Yeah. I mean, you say he's deliciously evil. Tom McBeath, by the way. You say he's deliciously evil, but I'm like, or is he?
Well, I mean,
I have a feeling
his job.
It's exactly. I have a feeling the way he plays it. I mean, he clearly enjoys messing with Jack.
Oh, absolutely.
He clearly enjoys the games that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
He does follow orders, but I don't have a feeling he's evil in a sense of like he really wants to do bad things or he really wants like kill people or anything like that. I don't think he's evil.
All right. Well, then how about if I call him an antagonist?
He's definitely an antagonist.
He's a delicious antagonist.
Yes, and he enjoys the chaos, I think.
Yeah, and I do believe this character is not like a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he is a very devoted and loyal member of the military.
He just has a very
it's
different
just the
approach.
Game he's yeah, he's playing a different game than Jack is.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so we'll have to watch him and see what happens next. Because as I said, he'll definitely be back at some point. I don't remember. I don't know when he will be back, but he will be back.
I am so looking forward to that.
Yeah. So that is the end.
All right. So before we do our Chevron ratings, do you have any other thoughts on this episode?
I have so many. I mean, on the one hand, it was because it's Mayborn and everything going on with the second gate and the politics and whatever, I actually like this episode a lot. And I think it is an actually important episode. On the other hand, the whole Madrona thing and whatever is super useless and I don't even know why. And it's like, I've already forgotten about it at this point. It's like, okay, this is the second Stargate Mayborn episode and not the Madrona episode.
That's basically it. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're having some similar problems with this episode.
Yes. But I mean, overall, I think it's not bad. It feels like a one-off. It kind of feels like a one-off episode. It's kind of a mix. It's like one-off with some maybe implications for later and some setup mixed in.
It feels to me like a story arc bridge episode.
Yeah, it could be.
Where they're reminding us about stuff that's happened before, setting us up for stuff that happens in the future, but doing it in a self-contained episode.
Yeah, and exactly, and sprinkling in some adventure and some self-contained stuff where they can do something. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely not a bottle. Like they're like switching between like a planet or some forest here, a forest there, some building there. Little bit of static sets, like it's kind of they didn't save too much money on this one. So yeah, it's overall I did enjoy watching it. So that's kind of my thoughts. And as I said, it has some important plot points in them. I mean, we get to know Area 51 for the first time. All the like Air Force Base, other locations like Utah. Utah, yeah. Southern Utah, some tech that ultimately we didn't hear too much about, but sounds interesting how it does it, terraforming, all of that. Those little things were like, yeah, it's like, oh, well, not super bad. So I did really enjoy it. So just me born alone, like that whole, I mean, he comes in later. Not beginning, but it comes in later. But and he's not in it a lot, right? He's like a little bit here, a little bit there.
But it feels like he's there for the whole episode.
Exactly. Yeah. SGC gets to leave the compound again, including Teal'c. The whole thing, how Hammond handles it, and the warpath, the park scene with Whitlow, all of that. Yeah, it's fine. It has a lot of intrigue and spy stuff, and yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. I agree. So, how many chevrons?
that's difficult now. It's definitely not a 7. Definitely not a 7. Do I give it a 6? Do I give it a 5? I don't think 4 is fair. I think it's definitely better than a 4. So, do I give it a 6 or a 5? I think... This is really tough. Like, on one hand, I really want to give it a 5. I'm like, there's a ton of problems with it. But then we have Mayborn. I'm like,
right.
It's like Mayborn kind of pushes it towards the 6 again. I'm going to be generous and give it a 6. I'm just going to be nice this time. I'm like, I just really enjoyed all the delicious things that Hammond did and Mayborn in this delicious evilness or... like messing with Jack and the fanboying in Area 51 and Teal'c's reaction. Like there is some flaws, but nothing so bad as a complete crap. I said Madrona is kind of okay, forget it about. But like there's so many little, really fun, really interesting scenes and everybody gets to do one. Even Daniel and Teal'c have some and Carter gets a little bit. And there's like little, Hammond has some really fun conversations and like he's on a warpath and all that. It's just, there's so many little fun situations, really well written, I think also dialogues in this case. I just have to give it a 6.
Okay, so for me, I had lots of issues with this one. And we've already talked about all the issues that I had.
Yes.
And my chevron rating for this one, I did not even hesitate at the end of the episode knowing what it would be.
Okay.
And it was a solid 6.
Okay.
Despite all the problems.
I agree.
And it's because this episode is so much fun.
Yes. Yeah,
and the parts that are like, seriously, why is this even here?
You just skip.
So yeah, the whole off planet part, those scenes were small.
Yes,
and completely forgettable, and so it's not like I felt like I was being drugged down watching an episode with all this other stuff in it.
Yeah.
That it was almost like I had commercial breaks. Come come visit scenic Madrona, and now we're back to the show.
That's funny.
But I mean, having Mayborn in this episode, it really made the whole thing work for me. And watching Hammond do his espionage stuff, just all those pieces coming together. Teal'c just being an intimidating, overbearing Jaffa to Mayborn. Yeah, it was so easy for me to call this one a 6.
It's funny how we this time, for you it was super easy. I was really struggling with it. At the end, we came to the same conclusion.
Right, and I believe last episode, we were reversed on that. So, it was hard for me and easy for you.
Exactly, I think so. The only thing I just thought about was I feel really bad for the actors that played the Madronans because they were kind of, they put all the costumes on and whatever and played their characters, and at the end of the day, they're kind of forgettable and not important.
They probably did all of their shooting on one day.
Just probably,
okay,
yes.
Let's do all the Madrona stuff.
Yeah. And it was literally one set, three scenes, I think, or four, like that.
And they didn't even have to do like prosthetics, any sort of real makeup on them.
That's true.
Just here, put on your costumes.
Yeah. But they got paid for, hopefully, at least. But I still felt bad for them. Like, it's like, for what it was, it's kind of not important. But okay. Maybe they knew. I mean, I said, maybe they didn't care. I mean, they're like, oh, whatever. I get paid.
So, yeah. All right. Well, then there we go.
Yeah, there we go. That's the end of this Touchstone. Next
episode. What do we have coming up next?
A very, very, very important episode is coming up. That's literally the only thing I'm going to tell you. Because I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to tell you it's the fifth race.
Oh, how exciting. A matter of time. So either time travel, or we have a time window, a countdown.
We get the fifth race first. A matter of time is after. Is it?
Oh, it is?
Am I wrong? Oh, no, you're right. Never mind. It's a matter of time. Okay, the fifth race is after that then. Yes, okay. I got them in the wrong order. No, okay, a matter of time. Also, actually, I can literally keep the same thing. It's a very, very, very important episode.
Okay, so Patrice, here's the funny thing, because when you said the fifth race, you were talking about an episode.
Yes.
Since I didn't know that's an episode title coming up.
Yes.
I thought you meant we get to see the fifth race in this episode, or we get some reference to them.
There's, now I've told you now there's an episode afterwards that is the fifth race, but no, A Matter of Time is also a very important episode, and actually a fun episode. I can literally right now in front of my eyes see a ton of scenes from that episode.
Oh, cool.
So it's that memorable for me. I mean, I've seen it also a million times, but it's that memorable. So you will have fun. You will enjoy it. It's a really cool idea, and it's going to be cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we get the fifth race after it. So, which is also
cool. I'm looking forward to both.
Yeah. A matter of time. So it's only a matter of time, Jeff, that we meet again here and talk about A Matter of Time.
Yes. All right. So everyone, if you want to tell us what you think about the episode, give us feedback, whatever. How about hello@retrorewatch.com for emails? Then we are on Mastodon, retrorewatch@techsocial. Oh, I screwed up every time. Techhangout.social.
Yes. Got it.
I feel bad because I know it's techhangout.social, but I always want to say it's techsocial.hangout.
Maybe I should see if
hangout.social.
Yes, and also on Blue Sky at Retro.
Oh, and on Blue Sky too. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week on the British Tech Network, Big Show, Mac Show, with you, with some other really cool people, we talk about tech. Just a lot of fun. And every week? No, what do I want to say? My website, I wanted to mention. Like, okay.
Every week you have a website.
Every week I have, every day, every second, I have a website. ThePatrice.com gets you there, all the links, social media, whatever. No, you know why I had this brain fart? Because I was literally thinking about something else I wanted to say, because I wanted to say, and probably at some point over the, like, in the skies over somewhere, over Austria. So, I'm working on that as well. So that's what I wanted to say.
Nice.
Because, you know, how do you know someone is a pilot? They mention it to you.
Yes, they do. This checks out.
This checks out, right.
All right. Okay, so for me, I'm Jay Gamut on the various social medias. I'm posting stuff right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. Mm-hmm. And I'll pick just a couple shows that I'm on. How about Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS? And so with that, Patrice, I think it's time for us to leave the embarkation room and close the iris. This is so much fun. I am still absolutely enjoying Stargate SG-1.
Perfect.
And still amazed that I have not watched it before now.
Yeah, good. We're, what is that now? 30 episodes-ish in, I think. About a little bit more even, 30-something, and you still enjoy it, so that's good.
And I am still enjoying it, yep.
Good.
Yep.
All right, then let's go watch the next one.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
And let's close the gate.